about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Reading that last verse, verse 9, once again. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Again, that was Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Then looking in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 20, beginning at verse 7. Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together, and in a window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep, and as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. But Paul went down, fell on him, and embracing him, said, Do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him. Now when he had come up, had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till daybreak, he departed. And they brought the young man in alive, and they were not a little comforted. Verses 7 through 12, Acts chapter 20. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for how that your word guides us. It empowers our prayer life. It helps us to know what's important and what's not. It helps us to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. It helps us to be well-equipped and alert to the things you've called us to be alert to. And it helps us to be wide awake to those things you wished for us to be wide awake towards as well. Father, more and more use your word in our lives to wake us up, to open our eyes, our hearts, our ears, our lives to your word, your will, and your spirit. And help us to be fully awake, fully alive in the hands of your Holy Spirit. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us.
Father, we're so thankful that we can come to you clothed in the righteousness of your Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, our great hope, the one who died on a cross for us. God, what a mercy and a kindness shown to people like us. We thank you for that. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. I'd like to invite you to take time to go to our Facebook pages and like them, Hour of Intercession and Hour of Intercession Live, if you would. We would appreciate that. Also, keep in mind that we do have podcasts of the broadcast. So if you happen to miss a broadcast or you want to go back and listen to it again or share, email it and share it with someone else, you're welcome to go to afr.net. Click on podcasts and you can find them for this broadcast or any of many other broadcasts on American Family Radio. Hope you'll take the time to do that. I want to remind you continually that we do have the AFA Resource Center. Go to resources.afa.net. Again, that's resources.afa.net to find an abundance of books and other tools that help to strengthen you, to encourage you as a disciple and a kingdom warrior, tools to help you and your family in the way of discipleship, tools you can also pass on and share with others. It will help them, too, to become kingdom warriors, disciples and followers, faithful followers of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today, we're looking at the topic specifically, the danger of sleeping in church. Again, the danger of sleeping in church. And on the one hand, that might sound like a bit of a humorous topic, but on the other hand, it's a very serious topic. And so we look at the passage in the Word of God in the book of Acts that I read a few moments ago, reading it one more time. Acts chapter 20, beginning at verse 7, once again, it tells us these words. Now, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together. And in a window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep, and as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. But Paul went down, fell on him, and embracing him said, "Do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him." Now when he had come up, had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till daybreak, he departed, and they brought the young man in alive, and they were not a little comforted. Now this is a unique story in the Word of God, specifically in the New Testament, the book of Acts. On the one hand, in a number of ways, the story has some humorous sides to it. This young man, Eutychus, now it doesn't say what his age is. I just picture a young teenage boy, to be quite honest. But he's asleep in church. Now, on the one hand, one might say, well, Eutychus had good reason, because remember, Paul is preaching and he continues to preach until midnight. And as you see, the story goes, he doesn't stop even after midnight. After the little incident with Eutychus, Paul goes back to preaching. And he preaches till daybreak. So that's an all-night church service. So some might think, well, no wonder people went to sleep. Well, but the reality is it's important to listen to the wisdom of God behind this story and any account in all of the Word of God. Well, Eutychus in particular, he sleep, but he makes the big mistake of sleeping in the church window. And so at this time, I want to take a moment to share an article that I wrote entitled "The Danger of Sleeping in Church." And that's our topic for today as well. And if you'd like to get a copy of the article, please email us at jparker@afa.net. We'd be glad to share it with you. But it's an article with, again, what might appear to be a humorous side, but at the same time, a very serious, serious message. Again, the article, "The Danger of Sleeping in Church." Acts chapter 20, verses 7 through 12, holds an interesting account about sleeping in church with implications and lessons we can use for today. These allow us to stay awake at the wheel so we can drive forward with the purpose God has given us for the church. In this account here in the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul is in Troas preaching late into the night. And at this particular gathering, a young man named Eutychus. He is apparently sitting in a windowsill and falls into a deep sleep. If that wasn't bad enough, he then tumbles out of the third story window of the building and dies. Paul goes down to the young man and with and by the power of the Holy Spirit raises Eutychus from the dead. What are the lessons to be drawn from this story? One lesson is, if you're going to sleep in church, don't sleep in the church window. Another lesson might be, if you're going to sleep in the church window, be sure it is not the window of a three-story church. Or if you're going to sleep in a window of a three-story church, be sure it has very strong screens on the window. Well, on a serious note, what are the implications and the insights of a story like this found in the Word of God? One of the truths to be learned is that if you're in the church, you really need to be wide awake. You really need to be sober-minded, alert, and understand what the church is and what we are called to be doing. We need to be passionate about understanding our mission and bold about carrying it out. It's important to not be in the church, but not have the mind and the heart of the church. We really don't need to be in church, but asleep at the wheel. We're called to be wide awake and bold about our calling. What is the bold mission that we're to be about? We're to passionately and aggressively seek to do the following things. We're called to passionately and aggressively proclaim the gospel and make disciples. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20, carry the Great Commission, as well as Mark 16, verse 15. Too many believers are doing little, if anything, to help be witnesses and to help spread the gospel of Jesus Christ in the world and to help the work of making disciples in the world. Again, we're also to proclaim and live the truth and help set people free from the bondage of sin. Luke chapter 4, verses 18 through 19. We're called to love, to reach out, to embrace and minister to a world of hungry and hurting people in need. Again, Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 40. And we're called to speak the truth with courage and faith to a world that largely does not value truth. We are called to carry the light of the truth of God's word to a world steeped in darkness. We are to proclaim the word of God to people who will sometimes question whether or not God even exists. We're called to help the world hear and know the truth. And that truth is what sets people free. We are called to share truth such as God made us male and female, and those are the only two genders there are. God can save and deliver a person from the bondage of lifestyles that don't align with his word. We're not to compromise with darkness. We're called to be wide awake and proclaim to the world the truth that clearly says, you shall not murder. Too many in our culture, including church leaders, are ignoring words which cause death, the same as murder, like abortion, reproductive rights, and euthanasia. Sin cannot be hidden by substituting words. We are called to be wide awake and to boldly and unapologetically say, thus says the Lord, because it is the word of God that has the answer to all of the world's problems. We are not to conform to the world, but we are instruments in the hands of God to show the world the will of God and the blessings that will follow his will as his will is being done in the earth. It is impossible to be bold for Christ if we are asleep, not paying attention to the details of his inerrant, authoritative decrees found in the word of God. It's time to wake up and recognize who we are and who we belong to. Let's wake up, come alive, and be about our Father's business. Again, the title of that article is The Danger of Sleeping in Church. And of course, we're looking at that same topic today as well. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're focusing on a topic of the importance of being wide awake, ready to be a vessel that the Holy Spirit can use. Father, thank you for your church. Thank you for your hand upon the church. Thank you for the fact that we are the body of Christ in the world. We're your people who've been called out of the world and into a new relationship with you and one another. Anoint us afresh with the spirit of courage, boldness, and alertness. Help us to recognize that our job is to be alert to your word and alert to the Holy Spirit, his guidance and direction, to be alert to the empowerment and the empowering of your Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, to know that every day is important, that we don't have any time to waste, that we're to be about your business, listening to your word and listening to your spirit and carrying out your work every single day. Because in the economy of time, there is no time to waste. Help us to be good stewards of all you've entrusted to us. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're looking at the topic, The Danger of Sleeping in Church. We'll be right back.
Through the night, I put my
Music from Planet Shakers. Only way, a reminder that Jesus Christ is the only way to be saved, the only way to heaven. Again, Only Way by Planet Shakers. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Today we're looking at the topic of the danger of sleeping in church. And of course, we're looking specifically at a few passages, beginning with Acts chapter 20, verses 7 through 12, the story of a young man by the name of Eutychus sleeping in church. But on the other hand, it's very important to know Scripture has much to say about the importance of us being spiritually wide awake. Just to share a few scriptures, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14 says, "For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Luke chapter 21, verse 36 says, "But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man." Matthew 24, 42 says, "Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming." 1 Peter 1, 13 tells us, "Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." And Revelation chapter 16, verse 15 tells us, "Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake, keeping his garments on, that he may not go about naked and be seen exposed." Well, again, just a few scriptures that point out that it's serious. It's a serious message that God challenges his church with, to be awake, to be wide awake. Well, why is that such a big issue? Well, the reality is, in our humanness, if we're not careful, most anyone can fall asleep spiritually. I want to share with you a brief, it's a parable, but it's a powerful parable about the importance of the church staying on task, knowing who we are, what we're called to do. Of course, we're called to carry the gospel to the world. We're called to make disciples. We're called to carry the love of Christ to the world as well. But this is a parable about staying on task. On a dangerous seacoast where shipwrecks often occur, there was once a crude little life-saving station. The building was just a hut, and there was only one boat, but the few devoted members kept a constant watch over the sea. And with no thought for themselves, they went out day or night, tirelessly searching for the lost. Many lives were saved by this wonderful little station, so that it became famous. Some of those who were saved and various others in the surrounding areas wanted to become associated with the station and give of their time and money and effort for the support of its work. New boats were bought and new crews were trained. The little life-saving station grew. Some of the new members of the life-saving station were unhappy that the building was so crude and so poorly equipped. They felt that a more comfortable place should be provided as the first refuge of those saved from the sea. So they replaced the emergency cots with beds and put better furniture in an enlarged building. Now the life-saving station became a popular gathering place for its members, and they redecorated it with beautifully and furnished it as a sort of club. Less of the members were now interested in going to sea on life-saving missions, so they hired lifeboat crews to do this work. The mission of life-saving was still given lip service, but most were too busy or lacked the necessary commitment to take part in the life-saving activities personally. About this time, a large ship was wrecked off the coast, and the hired crews brought in boatloads of cold, wet, and half-drowned people. They were dirty and sick, and some of them had skin of different color from the members of the club, and some spoke strange languages, and the beautiful new club was considerably messed up. So the property committee immediately had a shower house built outside the club where victims of shipwreck could be cleaned up before coming inside. At the next meeting, there was a split in the club membership. Most of the members wanted to stop the club's life-saving activities as being unpleasant and a hindrance to the normal life and pattern of the club. But some members insisted that life-saving was their primary purpose and pointed out that they were still called a life-saving station. But they were finally voted down and told that if they wanted to save the life of the various kinds of people who were shipwrecked in those waters, they could begin their own life-saving station down the coast. And that's what they did. As the years went by, the new station experienced the same changes that had occurred in the old one. They evolved into a club, and yet another life-saving station was founded. And this happened over and over again. If you visit the seacoast today, you will find a number of exclusive clubs along that shore. Shipwrecks still frequent in those waters. Only now, most of the people drown. A powerful parable about the church and what the church is called to do. And it's a powerful challenge reminding us that we're called to be the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're called to be the body of Christ in the world. We're called out of the world and into a new relationship with God and one another. We're called to carry the love of Jesus Christ, the compassion of Jesus Christ, the mercy of Jesus Christ. We're called to carry these to a world that's hurting, a world that's bleeding, a world that's dying. How important it is that we recognize that we stay awake and are clearly focused on who we are and what we're called to do. God has work for all of us in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to be about our Father's business, carrying the love of God to a hurting world. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 10, a very familiar, in fact, one of the best known parables, of course, is the parable of the Good Samaritan. Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 25, it tells us these words. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You've answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Then Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, Take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, He who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, Go and do likewise. Now this parable, again, one of the best known parables that Christ told in all of the New Testament specifically, the parable of the Good Samaritan, this too is about being awake and not being asleep. Keep in mind, in this parable, we see three people that are supposed to represent the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan. But sadly, the priest does not represent the heart of Christ. He has the frills of the church, but he doesn't have the heart of the church. The Levite, he has the frills, the title of a church person, but he doesn't have the heart of the church. The last one, the Samaritan, he has the heart of Christ. He has the love of God at work in his life and in his actions as well. So apparently, both the priest and the Levite are asleep. They're wide awake physically, but asleep, sadly, when it comes to understanding who we're called to be and what we're called to do as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. How critically important it is that we recognize that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is to be full of ministry. It's to be characterized by what the love of Jesus Christ is all about. A church that is busy reaching out to a hurting world, a bleeding world, a dying world. A church where people demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ through their words, their actions, their attitude, the way they spend their time, their energy, their money, their gifts, their strengths. Every believer is called to full-time ministry in the truest sense of the word. We're called to be awake to the Spirit of God and to the Word of God as well. Ministry is all over the place. Ministry is simply doing the will of God. And God has worked for all of us every day, throughout the day. Every believer is called to full-time ministry. So it's important that we're wide awake to understand that. And keep in mind, the Word of God lets us know it's easy, sadly, too easy if we're not careful to miss Jesus, to miss Christ in so many ways and instances. You know, in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2, we find a familiar story, but at the same time, a very sad story in terms of an account in Scripture of people being asleep. Matthew chapter 2, starting at verse 1, tells us, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also.' When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way." Verses 1 through 12, Matthew chapter 2. A powerful story, a well-known story, a story in the Word of God, a true story that you often will hear read during the Christmas season. But of course, it has messages and wisdom for us all year long. But here we find wise men who've come from the east seeking Christ. Apparently, they're wide awake to the Spirit of God and the grace of God, and they're looking to be used of the Lord, and they're used mightily by God. But sadly, we see people in the land of Israel who apparently are asleep. And even when the wise men come through, it doesn't appear that they wake up. They're troubled at their coming, but notice not a single person gets up and says, "We're going with you to find the Messiah." Remember, the people of Israel have been looking for the Messiah for centuries. They've been looking for the Lord. They've been looking for the Christ to come. Yet sadly, so many are asleep, so much so that they miss the Messiah. The Messiah comes and goes, and many people never even knew it. Why? Because spiritually, they were asleep. They weren't alert to what the Spirit of God and the Word of God was pointing to and what the Spirit of God was alerting them to. God was using the wise men to point people, "Here's the Christ, he's arrived, let's go worship him." But again, obviously the king, King Herod, only wants to kill the Christ. But it doesn't record that a single other person follows the wise men to follow the Christ child. Again, how sad it is when people are so asleep spiritually that they completely miss God. It's dangerous and tragic to miss Christ, to miss God. But if we're not awake spiritually, that's exactly what can happen. Father, anoint us afresh with a spirit of alertness. Help us to be alert to your word and your will and your spirit. Help us to live in such a way that we're always listening to your word, listening to your Holy Spirit, to live in such a way that we're available vessels through which your spirit can reach to accomplish your work and your will in any circumstance, in any situation. Help us to live in such a way that we're always striving to simply know your will and to do it. We're always striving to be available vessels. Thank you for that opportunity. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're looking today at the topic, the danger of sleeping in church. We'll be right back.
The moon and stars, they wept the morning Son was dead, the Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon him. One final breath he gave as heaven looked away. The Son of God was laid in darkness. A battle in the grave, the war on death was waged, the power of hell forever broken. The ground began to shake.
Music of Carrie Job with Forever. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic of the danger of sleeping in church, and specifically we're talking about being spiritually awake and alert to the things that the Word of God and the Spirit of God calls us, His church, to be doing, to be about, as we represent Him, as we build the kingdom of God, and as we tear the kingdom of darkness down. It's important for us to be about our Father's business. In the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5, it tells us these words. 1 Peter, chapter 5, starting at verse 1. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To Him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Verses 1 through 11, 1 Peter chapter 5. Again, we're focusing on the topic, the danger of sleeping in church, and we're talking about the importance of us being wide awake spiritually, so we're listening to the Word of God and the Spirit of God, so that we're not deceived by the deceptions of the world and the lies of the kingdom of darkness. There's a lot of deception in the world today. And if you're not careful, obviously the world can easily be misled by the kingdom of darkness and the dark things going on in the world. But it's tragic when people who say they love Jesus can be fooled and misled as well. How is it? What are the things that we as believers can do to stay spiritually sharp, to where we can keep our spiritual eyes and spiritual ears wide open to the Word of God and the Spirit of God and the Kingdom of God? Well, three things, of course, that are important spiritual habits and exercises we can do every day are, we can remember what they are by the three letters of the word PRO, P-R-O. P referring to our prayer life, R referring to the life of reading and studying the Word of God, O referring to obedience. As you give yourself to prayer, the Word of God tells us to pray without ceasing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It tells us pray without ceasing. As we give ourselves to prayer, prayer and praying diligently every day helps you to stay wide awake spiritually. It helps you to be sensitive to the things of the Spirit of God, to what the Holy Spirit's saying to you, what He's saying to the church as a whole. Filling your life with prayer helps you to stay spiritually awake and alert. Also, reading and meditating on the Word of God every day. Again, it helps you to stay strong spiritually and helps you to be awake spiritually as well. It sharpens your spiritual senses. And we need to have our spiritual senses very, very sharp. And nothing sharpens them more than the Word of God. Be sure you're in God's Word every day. Again, I regularly encourage you to go to reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible every day. That helps you to stay spiritually sharp and spiritually awake. And of course, obedience. Remember, when you read the Word of God, you're listening to truth, but truth is always meant to be applied. You don't learn it just to say you've learned it. You learn it to apply the truth of God's Word as well. God has so much work to be done, and He wants His children to be listening to Him as He speaks to us by His Word and His Spirit, and He wants us to be obedient as well. We're to be about God's business every single day. Even when you're on vacation, you're to be about your Father's business. There's never a time to not represent Christ Jesus. There's never a time in which you can kind of lay back and say, well, I'm not going to be a Christian today. That's a foolish thing to do. We're to represent Christ everywhere. That's the best way to live, representing Jesus in all circumstances. What are the things we're called to be doing? Well, once again, evangelism is what every believer is called to. Matthew 28 contains the Great Commission that tells us to go into all the world and make disciples. We're to live a lifestyle of sharing the gospel, a lifestyle of helping people to grow up in their faith as well. If you say to yourself, well, you know, I'm not a minister and I'm not a missionary. Well, actually, you're both. Every believer is called in the truest sense of the word to simply be an ambassador for the Kingdom of God. So you may not be ordained clergy, but you're a representative of Jesus Christ. So you are to be involved in the wonderful work of helping people to come to know Christ by the sharing of the gospel. You are to be in the work of discipling. We've been through as we've talked about the Ten Commandments Project, it's a tool to help us disciple our own children or to disciple other children as well. Doing this work, the work of discipleship with children, is so vitally important. I don't think I'm able to overemphasize how important it is. All of us are called to be involved with it. Never make the big mistake of thinking, well, that's not for me to be doing. No, remember in Matthew 28, God is calling every believer, the church, all over the world, to be involved in the work of making disciples. But also, we're to be supporting missions as well, with our prayers, with our finances. Sometimes God is calling you to go on a mission trip, or maybe to become a full-time missionary as well, being open to what the Word of God and the Spirit of God is calling us to do. The best way you can possibly live is a life available to the Holy Spirit to do what God has called you to do, whatever that might be. So the Holy Spirit is to have our focus. We're to live in such a way that the Word of God and the Spirit of God has our focus. Many people are caught up in other things in the world so much so that they can't hear the Spirit of God nearly like they could or should be hearing. God should be our high priority in life as believers. If He is not, we're going to find that time and time again, we're just asleep. We're spiritually asleep, asleep at the wheel, when there's so much work to be done, important work that needs to be done. In Matthew chapter 25, it tells us about the end times and, of course, a judgment scene. It tells us in Matthew chapter 25, starting at verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. and he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Again, a powerful parable in the Word of God that lets us know about the judgment scene near at the end, and how the people of God how the people who say they're the people of God will be divided, the sheep from the goats. The people who genuinely belong to the Lord, their lives are characterized by ministry. It's important to understand that as we're ministering and being about our Father's business, we're living a life where we're awake to the Word of God and to the Spirit of God. But too many people who say they love Jesus are asleep at the wheel. There's so much work that's not getting done. So many things, areas of ministry that aren't being accomplished. We look back in the tragedy of the Holocaust that happened in Nazi Germany. And if we ask the question, where was the church? What was the church doing? Well, sadly, much of what was called the church in Germany, they were asleep. They weren't awake to the Word of God and the Spirit of God. But now how easy it is for us in our day and time to look back and to point a finger at the quote-unquote church in Nazi Germany. But we need to ask ourselves the question today, are we awake today as well? You and I live in a nation where people are dying from all sorts of difficulties and troubles, and the church needs to be evangelizing and discipling faithfully every day. Are you involved in evangelism and discipleship? Is your church significantly involved? Too many who say they're the church are asleep at the wheel. And also we think of this too, that the fact is too, each of us has a part to play. God has important work for us to do. I'm reminded of an instance where at a pregnancy clinic recently, I spoke with a director of a very busy one in the state of Mississippi, and they learned through survey that around 500 churches were in the area, and I asked them, how many churches support you financially? And she sort of chuckled and said, 13. What a tragedy when the church, the quote-unquote church, misses out because they're asleep, misses out on helping to save babies and do the work of the church. It's important that we're about our Father's business, that we're wide awake, and that we're spiritually awake to the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the will of God. In our final few moments, again, as usual, if you're listening and you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is a great day to get saved. Would you pray this prayer with me in order to commit your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so very much that you came into this world, you lived, you died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose from the dead, so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord, I repent and turn from that wrong. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrongs I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Help me to be the person you want me to be. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I'm calling on your name. Save me. Help me to follow you all my life. In Jesus' name, amen. My email address is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We very much would like to hear from you. If you prayed that prayer and gave your heart to the Lord, we'd like to be in touch with you, share some literature and resources that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Or if you want some of the prayer tools and discipleship tools, again, same email, jparker@afa.net. We're glad to share them with you. Today we've been looking at the topic, the danger of sleeping in church. May it be your goal to live wide awake to the Word of God and the Spirit of God every day, that you are an available vessel God can use to get His work done every day of your life. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.